On a combination of best player available and me, talk about your first draft in charge.
Exciting. We call it a partnership with Coach O'Brien. Great process as it relates to what we put in place with the scouts and the unification with the coaches as well as the medical. Everybody coming together, working together hand in hand to achieve the best results. But I would describe it as a great team effort, John.
How did Bill's input help you through this draft process?
Well, Bill spends a lot of time evaluating the players, too. And we had the head start with the Senior Bowl, of course, with our coaches coaching in that game. But to Bill's credit, he spends a lot of time evaluating the players, watching the tape, but as well as the coaches, and building consensus with his coaching staff. And then the two of us come together, and we blend our vision for the player and the prospect.
Brandon, the slot receiver you got from Texas Tech, how valuable was Wes Welker's input? What were some of the feedback, just the thoughts that he shared with you from working him out and kind of knowing so much about him from the same school?
Yeah, so naturally Wes is a graduate of Texas Tech and played football there, but he and both John Perry spent a lot of time evaluating Kiki Kuti as well as Coach Seely for special teams. So you've heard me say it before, we wanted to make a conscious effort of adding speed, athleticism, explosiveness to both the offense and defense, height, weight, speed as many times as we could. We feel like he poses and adds a complementary dimension to our offense because he can be an inside receiver who has explosiveness. The other part of that we feel confident about is the addition of Jordan Akins paired with Kiki Kuti, that we feel from a nickel offense standpoint, having a pass catch tight end, upgrading the offense in that regard, and then doing that with another slot receiver who we think has a chance to be a returner, that we've upgraded what I would call like the inside passing game.
Brian, in general, you had goals you wanted to achieve in the draft and boxes you wanted to check. Talk about how you think you did on all things you wanted to achieve.
The thing I'm most proud of is we honored the process. You know, scouting, I've said this before, is truly a process. 2019 draft class will start May 28th. The weekend of May 28th, June 1st, that's when the process for next year will start. So bringing all that information together with the scouts, the coaches, putting the plan in place, putting the calendar in place, the achievement of that when you get to the finish line is nice to see.
Looks like you kept an eye on special teams with just about every decision you made.
Always. Brad Seely, his input is certainly valuable with every decision we make because you only get to keep 53 players, you only dress 46. So any skill or big skill player, you're going to discuss their fourth down value.
What stands out to you about your first draft interview?
I would say the consensus building and the partnership with the coaches and the scouts that came together. As it relates to the player acquisition process, I feel like we were able to make progress on both sides of the ball, but as well as fourth down. And that was something that we wanted to make sure that we accomplished, that we upgraded the overall roster. You heard me say it before, as it relates to the athleticism, the height, weight, speed, bigger, longer, stronger. We feel like we did that on a global effort with every player we added to the roster.
When you talked to Bill before you were hired at the end of the season, he said it was really important to him that he was with someone who was aligned with. Why is that so important to you in the partnership you guys have built?
Vision. You share the same vision on how you want to build a team, but also on how you want to build a football program and football culture. And equally, that goes hand in hand with the types of players that you want to bring to your roster.
You're in the midst of, or you will be, the undrafted free agent process. How important is that? Is that part of the equation?
Critically important, and I call that the eighth round, extend the draft. And our scouts right now are working on that with our coaches. We spent a lot of time on that through the winter and through the spring, so we're hopeful that we'll get some additional pieces here that have a chance to make our team.
From a locker room chemistry standpoint, you had a lot of players in this draft class that either had connections to your roster or they knew each other, they were from the same school in some cases. How much is that, just in terms of camaraderie, did that come up? Did you ask some players about, hey, what's this guy like, things like that?
Yeah, anytime you have the opportunity for sourcing with people who have worked directly with players that you're considering bringing in, where they've been in the locker room, on the practice field with, or they've been in the weight room, or they've been a teammate of, that's a great opportunity to get some insight on the prospect. But and I can't say this with any more emphasis, we're very sensitive to the types of players that we want to bring into our locker room because chemistry is key to success. And the types of guys we bring into the room, we want to make sure we know exactly what we're getting.
Couple of guys had injury issues, and everybody thinks you got edge of four lower than he should have gone if it wasn't for his labor, but he told us he'd be cleared in July or August. Talk about him plans for him and about his shoulder.
So as it relates to the injury issues, what I would say is any player that we consider, John, there was a thorough analysis with our team docs and our medical staff as it relates to assessing durability and the medical portion of it. But as it relates to Ejiofor from Wake Forest, we like the idea that the guy can rush the passer. And we like the idea that he's done it from the edge and he's done it from inside and he's been productive in that role. But we're confident and optimistic that he'll be ready to go when we put the pads back on.
What do you see as the identity of your team now after free agency and the draft?
Well, that's hard to say. I feel like from a balance standpoint, I would love to believe that we have the ability on the offensive side of the ball to run the football and throw the football. And with the additions we made in this draft on the offensive side, we feel like we added more weapons to surround Deshaun with. And we did also add offensive linemen through free agency and the draft, and we needed help there as well. But then equally, when I think about free agency, the pieces we added in the secondary, we did some work there. We added some linebackers here today, some outside edge guys as well. So I feel like it's kind of been a balanced approach. And my hope is when we go into the season that, look, our goal is to be number one in everything, Sarah, to be the best rated defense, to be the best rated offense. Like, that's what we aspire to be. Whether we accomplish that or not, we work towards that goal. So that's what I'm pursuing.
As it played out, your 8 picks are fairly concentrated in a couple of different areas. Does that speak to the needs of the team, or do you just simply, this is the best that we have at this spot where we stayed, and that's what we do?
Yeah, without getting into specifics, I would say any time we recognize a player that may be falling in the draft on the draft board, we'll always discuss the possibility of going up to get that player. And then when it makes more sense just to sit tight based on what the board is telling us to do, we do that as well. If the opportunity presents itself where we have a buyer and we had a chance to move back, we would have done that. It just played out this draft that we stayed right where we were and we got the players that we got.
Were you tempted to go up or down?
Always tempted. I'm always looking for opportunity to prove the team. At every turn and every opportunity when we were selecting, I'm evaluating the pros and cons of going up to get a player or sitting tight or the opportunity to move back.
Did you ever come close?
Yeah.
Jordan Akins, as an older rookie, has that maturity, having played pro baseball. What did you like about personality? What did you like about him as an athlete and service upside?
Unique skill set. 6'3 and change, 245, 250 pounds, 4'6", 40 guy. He's a good athlete. Like, Jordan strikes me as the type of player that if you put a ball in his hand, he'd be good at it. Baseball, basketball, football, tennis, whatever it might be. But we like his upside as it relates to the passing game. But, you know, we also want to develop him in the run game, too. And we need him to do that as well. So I think it's the athletic upside. And the ceiling, we feel like the ceiling could be pretty high if he hits on all cylinders.
You said you might have to draft 2 tight ends. Thomas played at 280, said he's at 270. How do you turn a guy that lined up wide into Tim Kelly make him into a blocker?
So he's an interesting developmental prospect, number one, for the body type. You know, he's a large man, he's a big man, he's long, he has ball skills, he's had receiving production. It's a projection for us to tight end. But in the time spent with Jordan through the offseason, through the workouts, through the combine, we were confident that he could make the projection to tight end, number one, because of the body type. But number two, the want to, John. I think it's hard to move to that position if you're not interested in blocking. The want to. He wants to develop. He wants to learn. He wants to grow in the running game. We're fairly confident he can offer something in the passing game, too. But he wants to improve in that other area as well.
Is it a priority to add another quarterback before the start of training camp?
We feel comfortable with the group that we have at the moment.
Give us an update on Tyler Irvin's recovery. And does his recovery have anything to do with you not using a pick on a third back?
As it relates to Tyler, I won't get into detail of his injury, but I would say, John, that when he returns, when that time comes, we're expecting him to perform in a similar role that he had been performing for us on the offense and then equally, you know, in the return game. So my projection and my feeling is when Tyler comes back, like, you'll see him deployed in a very similar fashion he was before.
You've got so many new players. Are you going to sign fewer undrafted guys than in the past?
Based on the composition of the roster, there may have been 10 to 12 CFA or PFA players that we were pursuing that we wanted to get on the team. But we'll do that selectively as well. We want to bring guys in who do have a chance to make our team. If it makes sense, we were going to do it.
Is there one player, Brian, that when it time came, you couldn't believe he was there and you took him?
Well, I would say our first selection, it wasn't that I didn't believe it, but as you were going through the second round, when Justin Reed was available to us in the early portion of the third round, we feel like we honored the process. And not only was he going to help us on defense, and we think in the immediate future, he happened to be the best available player at that time.
Is it important, like, you got a few guys, two Stanford guys, and some of them, like the second guy, I don't know, who's the second guy? He's a captain every year. He talked about the importance of that. Are those kind of things important to you, what they meant off the field to their team?
Sure. Absolutely. The personal character element of it is something we certainly spend a lot of time on researching, equally the football character. But when it comes to the Stanford players, they're smart, they're tough, they're well-coached. Coach Shaw does a heck of a job in Stanford. They're successful, they win, their players produce. So they come from a winning program, and they bring those behaviors here to ours.
After the draft picks, tight ends are in the secondary. It's like adding that depth to those two positions.
To tight end?
Yeah,
it's important, especially in our offense at tight end, because we have different roles and different jobs as it relates to the composition of the group in terms of the Y, the F, and how we use those guys. Ideally, we want them to be fully dimensional, but we like having versatile tight ends that can do different jobs. And in the secondary, we've talked about this, some of the acquisitions that we've had. We want to have a versatile secondary because of the variations of things we do in sub-package defense.
About Jermaine Kelly?
Sure. Jermaine Kelly's from San Jose State, roughly about 6'1", 205 pounds, ran 4.4, four-core special teams player, developmental corner, outside corner, great kid. We brought him here on a 30 visit, good personal character, good football character, developmental corner who has an opportunity here to win a job on special teams.
Brian, yourself a grade for this draft, or your first draft, as a team, what would you give?
Incomplete.
Partially because of where you drafted, obviously not until the third round, but maybe in any draft. Is there a balance you have in your mind of who can be an impact player immediately versus these are guys we feel can really help us, but further down the road?
I think anybody we bring to our roster right now as it relates to a draft selection, we hope has the opportunity to be an impactful player this year on the roster in 2018. The importance of them coming to our roster, the one thing I want people to understand is that we're always going to be trying to add competition to the roster regardless of the position, whenever it makes sense. So any players that we added to the roster this year through the draft, we think they have a chance to make our team.
When do you decide, like, that a guy like Rankin, you know, unique depth at tackle, but he's versatile. Does it ever hurt a guy when you're trying him in different spots instead of just putting him in one spot till he learns that?
Well, in the position that he's coming in as a young rookie player, you know, I would say the more he can do and the opportunity, gives us the opportunity then to put the best five in the field. And wherever that may be and how it shakes out, then that's best for the Texans. But when you're a young offensive lineman coming into the league, and if you don't earn a starting job, you only dress, traditionally speaking, seven offensive linemen. You may keep eight or nine offensive linemen. A lot of times, if you're not the frontline starter, if you're just a one-hole guy, your value can be diminished. So if you pose more value to the roster to be a two-position player or a left and right player, you're going to make it an easier decision for your coaches to activate you on game day.